The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So today is our year-end worship service. The year 2025, which has been filled with many things, it will finally come to an end this week. When you look at this past year, what kinds of thoughts come to your mind? I believe that throughout this year, each of you has surely received abundant blessings from God. So although it's December, December is also called Shiwasu in Japanese, isn't it? The word originally comes from the image of Buddhist monks in December. Monks who normally walk slowly are said to run about busily during this season, and from that image this word was formed. At the end of the year, it is not only monks who are busy, but everyone is busy. So it is an easy word to remember. You think, that makes sense. Yes, in our daily lives, December can be said to be an especially busy time. Looking back on the year and preparing for the new year, it is a season when both our hearts and our bodies are busy. Even in the scripture we read earlier, there is a busy person who appears. It is Martha. Although it was good that she welcomed Jesus, the picture of her being conscious of her busyness seems to me to be just like the picture of us ourselves that we easily fall into when we are busy. Therefore, on this year-end worship service today, I would like to listen to the words that Jesus speaks to those who are in the midst of their busyness. So let us read again verse 38. "Now, as they were going along, Jesus entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home." In this passage, the sisters Martha and Mary appear. It is said that Martha was the older sister. The name Martha has the meaning of mistress, or female head of household. And as the one in charge of the household, she must have been able to welcome Jesus wholeheartedly. However, it seems that this stricter passage is not recorded in strict chronological order. Luke records the story of Martha and Jesus as something that follows on from the preceding passage about inheriting eternal life. This passage may be used as a message from Jesus to those who would receive eternal life. So, now this woman, Martha, is receiving Jesus. Martha is a follower of Jesus. It says they, but we wonder how many people were in this group. On Jesus' journeys, his disciples were with him, but it did not stop there. There were other people who supported Jesus' travels. It is not clear whether such supporters were present at this time, but if they were, this group would have been quite large, and yet Martha invited such people into her home. There is no doubt that she truly loved and admired Jesus. Very likely, there were many more than 13 people, 20, 30 perhaps. Now, in order to welcome so many people, there are many things that must be done, much preparation. And also, Jesus was present. And for such an important person to her, she would want to welcome him personally, properly. But that's not all. With so many people, much preparation is necessary. Food is needed for this number of people. Space is needed. Cleaning has to be done in haste because he was unexpected, we suppose. There are drinks, of course. So obviously, the cleaning and the preparation must be done. And furthermore, in that age, it was proper manners to prepare water for washing the guests' feet. So water and towels were also needed for each person. Welcome welcoming Jesus into her home was joyful. But as the hostess, there were so many things that needed to be prepared. That was the situation of Martha. As joyful as she must have been, the preparations would worry her. This is the situation of Martha. So let us look at verse 39. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to his word. So while Martha was as busy as we have described, Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him carefully. When we compare Martha's busyness to Mary's attention, it seems that Mary is paying no attention to Martha. Perhaps Martha is making noise, perhaps more than needed, but Mary doesn't pay attention. Perhaps Martha says out loud, "I'm so busy, I'm so busy." But even then, Mary continues to listen to Jesus' voice. And so, finally, Martha takes action by appealing directly to Jesus. So, let us consider Martha's state. She is so busy in the middle of the preparations. That busyness seems to be very important because she is serving Jesus himself and his group, trying to serve them all with sincerity. Isn't this something wonderful? We always talk about how joyful it is to serve the Lord. But the issue becomes clearly visible. She says, "Do you not care?" And here we can see what Martha needs, what she is missing in her busyness. In these words, we can see that Martha is complaining. She was able to welcome Jesus, and yet within her there was no satisfaction or peace at this moment, just complaint. She had no peace in her heart, but she had a complaint. So let us look at verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." In these words, we can see the object of Martha's complaint. In fact, there are several. First of all, it is her younger sister, Mary. "My sister has left me to do all the serving alone." Martha seems to think that the cause of her busyness is that her sister is not helping her. "She is pushing this on me." We can see that in Martha's words. But isn't this curious? Why didn't she say this straight to Mary? Couldn't she just say, "I'm very busy. Could you help me by carrying these trays?" Or she could have been more sharp. "Come, help me." But apparently she did not do that. If being busy was such an important thing, if it was the thing that she most needed to do, why can't she have said that directly to her sister? But she did not. Instead, she hoped that Mary would notice through Jesus. She wasn't full of joy at Jesus. There was at least room for her to hope that Jesus would scold Mary for her unhelpfulness. We cannot be sure of what was in Martha's heart, but it was not full of love for her sister. Rather, her attitude towards her sister was one of complaint. Perhaps we might even say grievance. We can also think that she was even upset with Jesus, that she had a complaint against him. Do you not care? What kinds of feelings were carried by those words? She was preparing for the welcome of Jesus, and her sister was not helping her. She was doing all this work, and yet Jesus would not scold her sister. She perhaps was thinking and wondering, what was all my effort for? I am doing this for Jesus, and yet he doesn't understand me at all? Why won't he rebuke my sister? Why doesn't he understand how hard I am trying? This is too much. Surely, some such thoughts were in her heart. Why doesn't Jesus understand me? Even though he should. I am working hard for Jesus. I think that's the kind of dissatisfaction that she found in her heart. It changed the joy of welcoming Jesus into irritation. And the third object of her complaint was that present situation itself. Tell her to help me. She worked with all her strength, and yet the situation did not change. Even though she was giving her all to what she believed was right, to work that was done for Jesus, the results were not following. No matter how hard she worked, no matter how much she continued the preparation, nothing changed. No one acknowledged her. Even though I am trying so hard, Jesus does not help me, and my sister does not help me. Why has it come to this? When she looked at her present situation, her dissatisfaction likely appeared as irritation. Now, how do you think about Martha's complaint as you listen? In our own walk of life, complaints like Martha's occur quite often. Why do we worship? Why do we sing praises? Why do we offer prayers? It is because we love the Lord. It is because the Lord speaks to us. It is because we desire to hear the Lord's word. That is why we worship and pray and praise. And yet, in the midst of busyness, do we not tend to forget such a joy, the joy of the Lord being with us? I think that Martha's kind of complaint is something we often find ourselves feeling as well. Why are we the only people working? Why are we the only people taking care of others? We are trying so hard, but we are not thanked. And the help we wish for is not forthcoming. Isn't that us? Aren't we all like Martha? Right now, we are participating in worship. Why do we worship? Why do we sing praises? Why do we offer prayers? Why? And there's only one reason. It is because we love the Lord. But in the midst of busyness, our busyness, do we forget that reason, that joy? Do we not? Even though we should be tasting the wonder of welcoming Jesus, over and over again, we find ourselves unable to feel that joy. I find myself aware that sometimes I end up in that state, quietly, without thinking about it. Just the other day, we celebrated Christmas. The Christmas worship, this candle service, many Christmas gatherings. Together we rejoiced in the birth of Jesus who came among us, and we were able to spend time sharing that joyful news with each other. But when it comes time for Advent and Christmas, something one of my professors spoke of during my days as a seminary student. Christmas fatigue. there's this word, this phrase, Christmas fatigue. As a seminary student, I was taught we must be careful whether something called Christmas fatigue appears within the church. The church is a flock that rejoices in Jesus Christ. And therefore, it is only natural that we put special effort into Christmas. In Japanese, we say kiai, the coming together of spirit, which is more than effort, it's the whole soul. There are many gatherings that are held. Much preparation is done. Worship is always special, but among them, we keep a specially special worship service, such as the candle service. The busyness increases among all this wonderful work. The busyness itself is wonderful, because it overflows from our desire to rejoice wholeheartedly, to serve each other in Christmas, in the birth of Jesus. But before we realize it, in the midst of all that busyness, we may lose sight of what is essential. And that is why we become worn out. That is what is called Christmas fatigue. Without notice, it creeps on us quietly among many churches and pastors. That's what my professor, to whom I'm very grateful for such teaching, taught me. Busyness itself is a wonderful thing. If it is busyness for the sake of faith, all the more so. It can be a form of thankfulness, an expression of our faith. Isn't that wonderful? Certainly, busyness as such is not evil. But we are in the midst of such busyness. Our hearts become unsettled. We forget the joy, the reason why we are busily moving about. That is, welcoming Jesus. We forget why we are busy. And that means that we will forget our joy. That is the issue. This is Martha's issue. Her dissatisfaction has cause in losing sight of what is most important. Welcoming Jesus and making preparations, both are important. But why do we welcome Jesus? Why do we desire to serve Him? It is because we want to be with Him, to be with Jesus. It is because we want to listen to His voice. It is because we want to see Him. That is why we prepare meals and clean the house, make decorations, prepare Christmas plays, choral and orchestral performances. We want to be beside Jesus, and we want others to come be with us. We want to welcome them as well as Jesus. This is a precious thing. Jesus is precious to us, and that preparation is therefore precious as well. But unfortunately, sometimes that turns into pure busyness, dissatisfaction, and complaint. Of course, the preparations, the service to others are important. But the most important thing is to walk together with the Lord, is to seek what it is that the Lord is speaking to us. So let us look at verse 41. The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried about and troubled about many things, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." So what does Jesus say to Martha, who is in the midst of all this busyness? The words of Jesus in this passage seem to be filled with gentleness. I can feel it in his words. Jesus accepts everything about Martha. Her busyness, her trouble, and her dissatisfaction as well. You are worried and troubled about many things. He knows her condition, the whole of her thoughts. He knows the reason why she feels as she does. And so, he speaks to her. He speaks to her condition, to her issue. He says, in your heart, you need to find the one thing that is necessary. He does not explicitly define what that one thing is. What he does say is that what Mary chose is what is necessary. Let us read again verse 39. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to his word. What Mary chose, the one and only necessary thing, was to sit at the Lord's feet and listen attentively to his word. What is necessary for those who would welcome Jesus is nothing other than to listen to the Lord's voice, to concentrate on his word, to focus on it. A luxurious meal, water for washing, any of those preparations to ensure comfort of the guests, or even of the guest of honor himself, Jesus, none of these are included among the necessary things. For those who welcome Jesus, there is only one thing that is necessary: to be near the Lord, at a distance where one never departs from him, and to listen attentively to his word. There's a book titled The Circle Maker. The author is Pastor Mark Patterson, and he writes the following about the Lord speaking in his book, Whisper. Nothing has the potential to change your life like the whisper of God. Nothing can have more influence on the direction of your life than your ability to hear God's will, to hear God's still small voice. Through it, you're able to discern what God considers good, what pleases him, and what his perfect will is. And through it, you are able to know and understand the mission God has given you. It is the ability to hear God's still small voice. It says the Lord whispers. He is right beside me. He whispers in a voice that only I can hear. Unless we concentrate, we cannot hear. If our hearts are captured by anything else, we cannot sense that the Lord is with us. And if we are too busy speaking ourselves, our own words, rather than listening to what the Lord is saying, the Lord's whisper will be drowned out. Though he is with us, if we cannot focus on him and our hearts are troubled, we cannot taste the joy of the Lord being with us and us with him. To listen carefully to the whisper of the Lord who is with us, that is the one thing that is necessary, the one essential thing. To lend our ears to the Lord's word. At the end of the year, in our hearts, is there not thoughts like those of Martha? Have we forgotten that the Lord is with us? At this time, this very busy time, have we not forgotten the Lord? As we rush about being busy, have we forgotten to turn our attention, to open our ears to the Lord's word? Shall we not remember the Lord? The way he has condescended to be with us. Remember his word. What is necessary is to hear the Lord's word and to place our faith in Him. 2025 is about to be over. I would like to read the theme scripture that we confirmed at the beginning of this year. It is Psalm 1, verses 1 to 4. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff, which the wind blows away. In our Tsuchiro Megumi Church, the year 2025 began with this word. Desiring that the Lord's instruction would dwell among us, we began this year. Everyone. And now that this year is coming to an end, in the past, in the present, and in the future, may we be those who sit at the Lord's feet and listen attentively to His word. May we be those who never forget the one and only necessary thing that Jesus taught us. Let us pray.